Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It's Monday. Lots going on today. Braves are off, but after a weekend series win against the Phils, it's got us all feeling much better about this team, and they've added a couple of pieces. We're going to go around the yard in 35 minutes and talk more about the Braves and MLB and what's going on with our man, Bob Nightingale, who's going to join us from USA Today. So we'll talk to him coming up here in just a little bit. Mike, also, Hawks back in action tonight, which we'll dive into as part of our strong arm story of the day. The good news is it looks like DeAndre Hunter is on his way back.
Great news, man. The Hawks have got four games left. The Knicks have got four games left. We would love to get to the four seed. The Knicks own the tiebreaker over the Hawks. The good news, I mean, not good news, but we've been dealing with the injury bug all season long, Carl. But as you mentioned, Bradley Beal is not going to go, it looks like, now for the Wiz tonight.
Yeah, so that game tonight, again, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, coming your way at 7:30 tip with the pregame at 7 o'clock with Mike Conte and the call with Steve Holman here on Sports Radio 99.
We want the four seed.
I would love the four seed, man. I just, again, give me a little bit of an advantage to say we're going to expand attendance at State Farm and we get home court advantage in that series. I would prefer that, Mike, but even if we don't get it, the Knicks are going to be a tricky matchup for us. That's why I need Hunter back. We'll dive into it coming up. Let's talk about our Falcons, man. As always, Falcon Report, maybe you did it this weekend. Maybe you cooked out and you did a hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home, sent us your pictures. Thank you, guys. But maybe you ordered Domino's.
Yeah, man. Go to Domino's.com, ask for the car side delivery. Bring the pizza right out to your rig or your ride and throw it in the back. Not throw it, they'll place it lovingly. Carl, how about a three-topping pizza for $7.99? Get it from Domino's, guys. Ask for the car side delivery at Domino's.com.
All right, man. Let's talk about this week. It's a big week for the Falcons simply because rookie minicamp starts on Thursday. And this is the first time that our rookies, and Mike and I have had a chance to, Mike, I'm just looking at the list. I mean, we've talked to pretty much everybody, right? I mean, we've had all of the rookies on the station at one point or another, whether it was with Andy Randy, our morning show with John Freaky Hugh Douglas. Mike and I, one day last week, I want to say Thursday, we had like four guys on. If you missed any of those interviews and you're curious about anything about our rookie class, go to odyssey.com and check out those interviews. And that included Richie Grant, our safety that we took in the second round.
Yeah, man. We spoke to Drew Dolman and Taquan Graham, Darren Hall. There's some great guys. Also, the middays got to talk to Frank Darby and to Kyle Pitts, obviously. And, you know, we spoke with Jalen Mayfield. I know there's a lot of turnover, excited about it. Also, I was kind of interested to read the comments that D-Led had in the AJC on his blog about talking to some of the new position coaches, Carl, and how they're going to handle this workload with some of the new pieces and some of the guys that we already got here. One of the things that Falcon fans were interested in is why we didn't draft a running back. And, of course, we picked up Hawkins from Louisville, who looks like a nice piece as an undrafted free agent. We've already got a guy, Mike Davis, that was brought in to tote the mail. But it's interesting. If you didn't read the article, the new running backs coach actually recruited Mike Davis to Vanderbilt, Desmond Kitchens.
Yeah.
So he's got familiarity with him. We got a brand new guy as a quarterbacks coach, but he's actually from Atlanta, went to Dunwoody High School, named Charles London. London, talking about the challenge with, you know, how Matt should be familiar with much of the playbook, although there are some nuances. But I'm just curious, getting back to running back, you and I asked about Qadree Ollison. One of the things that was brought up in the running back conversation, pass protection. They said it's a great opportunity for Ollison, which is almost like putting him on blast. Learn how to do that, and you might actually get a chance to get on the field this year.
Yeah, but I also think, you know, he's going to get, I want to say, a fair opportunity.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, when you have a change at the top and you're a guy that remains around, sometimes you get a fair opportunity. You weren't getting a fair look because the people right. in the past just didn't see you that way. And so if he's still here, Mike, I think he's going to get a fair opportunity to show what he's got. And that could be a good thing for Qadree Ollison. You know, as I said, for me right now, this is not the most, and I'm not talking about the you specifically, I'm saying the run game is not my big concern. And I know everybody's right. still stuck on the fact we didn't take a running back. And I understand that. I get it. But I really feel like we're going to have capable guys, and I still don't know what this undrafted free agent class is going to bring us. I'm not sure if we don't find a diamond in the rough there, Mike, that again, nobody's going to tote the rock 50 times a game. This right. is going to be a shared experience. Guys are going to have their roles on this team, and I think Coach Art is going to spread the ball around. So I just need guys that can play their role in their position. And then let's combine all those yards, Mike. And what do you think we're going to come up with? Are we going to be a team that rushes for over 1,000 yards with the combined group?
Hey, I mean, maybe I'm completely wrong on Qadree Ollison. I just thought, you know, going in what he did in the ACC in Pitt, the guy had some really big games there. Is a workload running back. I thought it was kind of a nice fit, you know, for us here in Atlanta. And because he can't protect the quarterback, he's not going to get a chance. But Mike Davis, obviously, Carl, the first amongst equals. You know, Hawkins is a guy that can catch out of the backfield. We're only going to, again, only time will tell. Who was the, you know, I had to look it up while we were talking. Remember the dude that you and I used to lobby for that never got the love, Antone Smith?
Well, yeah. I'm taking you back. At one point? I think you did.
I'm taking you back to the Mike Smith days. Guy had 5 touchdowns 1 year, and then Smith was like, well, we'll try to get him the ball. But they never did, and for whatever reason, he was out of football a couple years later. But, I mean, Ollison, I would imagine, you know, if he's got something, you just laid it out. New set of eyes. I think the fans want to see one guy be that fantasy football stud, but I agree with you. I don't think that's going to be the case with this team. I think you're going to see a lot of guys getting a chance to tote the rock. Mike Davis being the first dog. 250. What's the over-under for carries for Davis this year?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to carry it 3. Well, I'll check that.
Unless he gets on a heater and he really yes. responds and they give him the shot that he didn't get at other places other than filling in for McCaffrey in Carolina.
Yeah, because when you start talking about, you know, 3+, we're talking about 300 carries, guys. When you're getting into that, you know, 350, 400, that's a lot of carries.
That's like, rare that's, air.
Yeah, that's Derrick Henry stuff. And I'm not saying he's going to, you know, be that. But you're right. If he is toting the rock well, he might get over 300-plus carries. That wouldn't surprise me. It is Dukes and Bell. Again, it's our Falcon Report. You talk about how do we get these rookies better. The guy.
By the way, I found. I'm sorry. I don't, I'm a second late on you. 165 rushing attempts for him last year in that backup
split
role
time.
When yeah. McCaffrey wasn't on the field when he was
yeah.
injured.
Yeah, and he did a nice job, by the way. But again, that's not a workload. That's a lot, but it's not a lot compared to, you know, the elite backs in this league, the Ezekiel mm-hmm. Elliotts of the world. Go look at his carries early on. You know, when you start talking about McCaffrey as well, Mike, and they utilized him more. The last few years, even before he was hurt. But everybody's talking about Kyle Pitts, and rightfully so. How does he get better, Mike? He comes in with all these tools, and you were talking about some of the assistant coaches. Well, whether you realize this or not, Falcon fans, we got a really good tight ends coach that was with the Eagles. He was with Zach Ertz for about 8 years, but the guy played with Tony Gonzalez here with the Falcons and then obviously played with Antonio Gates early in his career, and his name is Justin Peel. He's going to be the guy tasked with making him better. And when I say that, Mike, you come into the league. We always talk about this. It's projection. Yes, everybody comes in with talent. But what are you going to be 3 or 4 years from now? How much better is he going to be, Mike, when it comes to blocking or route running or being able to create separation, you know, in the red zone much better than he does right now? All those things that we talk about that turn you in either to a Pro Bowl or All-Pro tight end or receiver in his case. So I think this is what I want to see, how they start to develop a guy like Kyle Pitts. And that development starts this week with the rookie minicamp.
Right. And I know that we like to think that in this offense, a balanced attack, running the football, play action, all the weapons. You know, it's funny. Didn't we have the same damn conversation last year about Dirk Cutter, what we're going to do with Todd Gurley? Right? I mean, I know it's apples to oranges, tight end to running back, but we were talking about all the potential mismatches and how we were going to set the tone and how defense was going to be, how are they going to play? Is they going to go nickel early? Are they going to go, and none of it ever materialized save for one or two spots. And that was on Dirk Koetter. We don't know what an Arthur Smith offense is going to look like unless you watch the Titans week in, week out. But I just have a feeling, Carl, we're going to maximize the talent the way we haven't. I mean, I've got to believe that as a fan that's going to be part of this new regime.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, Coach Art is going to come out with what we have, right? And we still don't know yet what's going to happen with Julio. I know the rumors are out there. They're still taking calls and whether they're going to move him or not. It's just, for me, it's wait and see. But I'm going to assume he's going to be here until he's not. And my point is, Mike, you set the tone. You come out in whatever set, whatever formation you want, and you see what the defense is doing. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think if Matt Ryan has more freedom to dictate how he wants to do audibles and what he's going to do, I think you can create some really special mismatches with the guys we're going to have on the field. And I agree with you. I think they're going to be utilized a lot better.
Hey, man.
We got plenty more to get to, by the way. Go ahead.
No, coming up in the six, I'm going to talk about the rookies are all going to be working out, but we're not going to get the whole team together, and that's kind of a drag. Tom Brady was speaking with the Players Association later next hour. I want to get into some of the things he was saying. Interesting, Carl, because, again, nobody wants to be part of the voluntary workouts this year.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not going to say COVID has been the excuse, but it was the excuse last year, and I think that's a carryover. We'll dive into it. Coming up next, though, the Hawks back in action. Big games remain, but a big piece could return.
And now, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conti. This update is brought to you by Amtrak. A difficult three-game road trip is over for Atlanta United, who came out of it with two draws and a loss, including a 1-1 draw Sunday at Inter-Miami. Atlanta United had the lead for nearly 70 minutes, but Brad Guzan says they got too sloppy in the second half.
We turned the ball over unnecessarily. Silly turnovers in bad spaces.
A big bright spot for Atlanta United was Joseph Martinez scoring for the first time since suffering his ACL injury last February. Atlanta United hosts Montreal this coming Saturday. The Hawks open the final week of the regular season tonight against Washington, who will be without Bradley Beal due to a hamstring issue. DeAndre Hunter could be back for the Hawks for the first time since March 24th. Pre-game coverage starts at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. In baseball, the Braves have the night off tonight after taking 2-3 from Philadelphia over the weekend, including a 6-1 win Sunday night. Tomorrow, the Braves host the Blue Jays, with Drew Smyly facing Robbie Ray. When you're ready to go, Amtrak is ready to tank you with enhanced cleaning and safety protocols and private rooms available. And with more than 500 destinations, it can get you safely and comfortably to small towns and big cities across the country. Learn more at Amtrak.com. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conti from the Kia Studios. On your home of tonight's Hawks-Wizards game, tip off at 7:30, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, let's talk about our Hawks, man. I'm excited about what the postseason holds for the Hawks. But before we get to the particulars of players and all that's going on, Mike, let me ask you this. Have they made up their mind on what they want to do with Nate McMillan?
I'd like to think they've already got a plan. I don't know if it meant anything to the team to kind of spring it on them on the eve of the playoffs. Presumably, you know, we can hang on to a 5 seed, 4 seed be preferable. But I'll flip it on you. Do you think that matters at all to the guys? Because they certainly have responded to him. We're playing great basketball. We're now 6 games over 500. And would that mean anything? Hey, by the way, guys, Nate, boom, 3-year deal with a year for the, I don't know. Or does that even carry any juice into the locker room?
I don't know. I mean, I'm mixed on this because I don't know if that means that guys go out and play.
Win one for the Maxter. Win one for Nate. I don't know.
I don't know if guys go play extra hard, you know, because Nate got a new deal or he now is the man in charge. I think there has to be a sentiment for most guys in that locker room that feel like we've done our job. We're going to make the playoffs. How far we go, we'll determine. We'll see what happens. But we feel like Nate needs to be the coach. And I think that's probably the sentiment for guys that are here. And I don't know if that gives them extra incentive to be more fired up for the postseason. I just think I think they've made up their mind. And I say that even if they were to interview others, I've said wait till the end of the season. You want to see what's out there. But I think they know what they want to do. And by that, I'm saying if they want to offer the job to Nate or not, right? I mean, you know by now. This right. is not, you know, four games are not going to make a difference. Right. You know where he stands with the organization. It's just a matter of when is that going to take place.
Has your position changed on this issue?
As far as giving the job now?
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm sorry, it has not. I still want to wait till at the end of the season.
Okay.
And again, I have nothing against Nate, but I've said all along, you know, I want to see how Hawks fans respond if, God forbid, we, you know, lose in the first round. Let's just say, Mike, we get swept. Let's say we don't even win a game.
Now, the hard part is trying to get DeAndre Hunter acclimated as quickly as possible where he could have an impact. Now, again, if we were to take on the Knicks, you know, the idea that I think he could maybe do something against Randall, right? I mean, at least make his trip to the basket a little more difficult. I mean, I've gone round and round on this. I flip-flopped and I changed my mind. Was it 2 weeks ago? I just think Nate's done the job. And I think,
Mike, by the way, most people agree with you. I really
and
do.
I don't even know who are the other guys out there. What's the usual suspect list of retreads that we're going to talk to? I mean, Nate is a retread by his nature. I wasn't sure what he would do if he got the opportunity based on his history. But I just think, you know, do you really want to have a young team have to deal with a new head coach for the third time, as I said last week, in less than a calendar year?
Yeah, and here's
that's the drawback to it.
Here's the other part about this too, and it's Dukes and Bell, guys, our strong arm story of the day. Hawks play the Wizards tonight. That, of course, is Russell Westbrook now, who's there. He set the tied actually the record this weekend with the Big O, 181 triple doubles.
You know he's going to get it. Especially if Beal isn't out there tonight, he's getting a triple double tonight.
Well, he's going off. I mean, listen. And some people don't recognize, I guess, the season that Russ has had, considering the team he's got. It's not a great Wizards team. I mean, obviously, you take Beal off the team, and he's like, okay, well, who's he passing to? So, right. Yeah, exactly. Name a Wizard. Thank you, Chris. That's not a great team. So, with that, I've just put that in perspective. But I was going to say, Mike, as far as Nate McMillan is concerned, when you talk about the other coaches, I do think most people agree with you that he's done the job. And I think the one thing we don't know is the development part. How much has he been involved in helping Herter get better this year? Herter's been better this year. How much has he helped, you know, the guys that we see on the floor? Okongwu is playing better. I didn't expect as much from Okongwu that we're getting.
Right.
Has that been a part of this development?
I mean, he was a liability almost to the point where, like, we're putting him out there. And you've seen the transformation, yes. You know, in a short time. That's
so
why.
If Nate gets credit for that, then the answer is, okay, not only has he done the job from an emotional and psychological standpoint, Mike, he's coaching guys up.
I mean, again, you know, we're always, it's funny, guys, like, you're always running guys out of town. Well, here's a guy I want to see get hired, okay, for what it's worth. I'd like to see, again, I just don't know who the other list is of guys, like, you know, hey, we're bringing Terry Stotts in, you know, we're going to bring in Ron Rothstein. I mean, I don't know who we're bringing in to coach him. I'm not saying that the argument you can never find better is not an argument. I'm just saying Nate has done so much better with this group. I think he deserves a contract.
Yeah, and 404, by the way, 404-741-0929. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, this radio station, 929, the game. Our poll question is up in regards to the Braves, which we'll tell you about in just a second. But it's not better, Mike. I don't think it's better. I think it's just fit. If you feel like he fits with what you're trying to accomplish and do, then you hire him. You know, you talk about guys. I'll give you an example. Would we score more and would Trey score more with Mike D'Antoni as the coach? Yes. But there's no championship pedigree there. There's nothing that tells me when we get into the playoffs, if we were to hire him, and I'm using him as an example, that all of a sudden we flip the switch and all those great teams he had, whether it was the Suns or as recently with the Rockets, that all of a sudden now things are going to change. And he had great players on those teams for us because his teams traditionally don't play defense. I do think Nate is preaching defense with this team.
Now, again, the idea that we would play the Knicks, you know, as a 4-5, I mean, the Knicks, that's why part of the reason we got to see the Knicks lose a bunch of games here the next few days is they've owned us this season. Now, we had the chance to win at the Garden, the game that where we saw our point guard went out. I'm sorry, I'm going brain dead. But, yeah, I mean, we had a game where we lost that we probably could have won. Trey goes out in the injury and the whole thing just fell apart. But we never had DeAndre Hunter down the stretch against these guys. And that's the thing. We're talking about Randle. Do you have a guy who can make Randle's trip to the basket a little more difficult? Are we going to bomb threes? Everybody's living and dying by the three. I love our chances. Knicks would be a tough out, though. That's no. If we went, let's, I don't know, if we went the distance against the Knicks and lost, is that, you say, Nate's gone. I can't bring him back. That's the thing.
No, I can't.
We get swept and we look miss. Now, again, if we get swept and you and I are arguing about stupid rotations and why didn't they call a timeout.
That's different. Right. And see, that's what I'm saying. When you're in those moments, that's when you really get defined. Not during the regular season, even though this has been a challenging regular season for Nate McMillan. Speaking of Nate, let's hear him talk about the rotations Mike was just talking about and Hunter potentially being back. Guys, he could be back as soon as tonight.
Well, it's good for the players, but it's certainly good for me to know, you know, who we have and what we have and, you know, getting a set rotation as soon as possible. It's just going to be really difficult to do. We anticipate that that Dre will be coming back this week, and we have to work him into rotation.
So he'll be back this week. Is it tonight? I don't know. Is it Wednesday? I just want him to get as much time in, Mike, as he possibly can before the start of the playoffs.
And again, Carl, I can't believe you don't know who Davis Bertans is, or Rui Hachimura. Remember from Gonzaga, Carl. These are all part of the Wizards from the district.
He's not playing with stars, okay?
What about Raul Nito or Nato? Chris, help me out on these names. We all know Robin Lopez, Carl, Brooks' brother.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's better known as Brooks' brother. You're exactly
right.
I mean,
that would be these are Davis Bertans, the Frenchman, I believe.
Davis Bertans. Carl, how do you not know Davis Bertans? Carl, how dare you? You're being so Jean.
I actually think what Russell has been able to do with the Wizards is even more impressive than what he was doing when he was at Oklahoma City.
Right.
Seriously. If you
think about it, now he'll be the one man gang. I just can't look at Russell Westbrook without thinking of the guy who does the videos of all the NBA players in the driveway.
It's funny. It is funny.
You know what I mean? That's when I watched that tonight. So yes. So if you're a betting man, wait, bet the house he hits a triple double tonight.
Well, it's funny you say that, Mike, because I was looking at the number. 7.5 tonight. Now, that was before I knew Bradley Beal was not going to be there. Okay, Hawks are favorite tonight, basically by 8 points. And I was like, but to your point, this is the kind of game where Russell goes for 50, and I'm being, you know, who knows. They hang tight. They may lose, but do they lose by 8? So, I don't know,
A 120-119 puts us over. So, it's not total ABA, but the over-under is 238. And you're right. It's hanging at 8 right now.
Mm-hmm. Minus 8 before that news came out. And I was like, okay, maybe I should call somebody. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Love
purely for entertainment value, kids. Yeah. I don't want to hear you guys. You know what I always hate? We always get that guy. Yeah, thanks a lot. We put the house payment on the Hawks last night. Thanks, Dukes and Bell. No, sir.
That's
don't
your
do that.
Fault, fool.
Guys, it's EPO, entertainment purposes only.
There it is. And by the way, no, I do like to gamble because in some states it's legal. Not here. But I do like the gamble. Hey, Clint Capella talking about DeAndre Hunter real quick. This is the quote. He says so much he brings to this team just by his activity, his length, his strength, his athleticism. Mm-hmm. He can guard all positions basically 1 through 4, which is one of the things I love. Right. You know, he's not guarding Embiid, okay? But he can guard 1 through 4. And he says he does so much more on the court defensively and offensively. It would be a big boost to get him back. That's Clint Capella talking about it, Mike. So, you know.
And, I mean, the games, when you think about, you know, I know that some Hawks fans, you're not a Hawks fan. You're just being a provocateur and you're crapping on everything. But we need somebody to stop Julius Randle. I mean, Julius Randle, Carl, he might look like he's 7'5", but he's not. He's 6'8". Now, he's built like a freaking boxcar. Yeah. But, you know, you need a guy that can get in there. And that's why we miss a guy like DeAndre Hunter. I mean, let's be honest. Randle throws Collins to the side on the way to the basket. You know, R.J. Barrett, that's an athletic, that's a great pickup from them. Derrick Rose has still got game. So, I mean, again, I'm not saying it would ever be easy against New York. We would have won the game. I think we had the game won in the Garden when Trey got hurt.
I do, too. I think we were in that game leading. As a matter of fact, when Trey went down. Hawks-Wizard game, their game on Wednesday. Quick update. It's now going to be on ESPN, which means the game time has changed to 7 o'clock. They'll play tonight at 7:30, but Wednesday's game is at 7, which means 6:30 pregame here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, coming back, we're going to talk some baseball. Mike mentioned it. Braves, nice win over the weekend with the Phillies. We'll talk to Bob Nightingale about the Braves, but we'll also get his take what else is going on around baseball. It's coming up next as we go around the yard. And on the line is Odyssey Sports MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls brought to you by Dell Technologies. Small business Podference 2.0 podcast series available on odyssey.com/Dell. Bob, let's start with our Braves. A big series win over the weekend against the Phillies, and then we find out they have signed Shane Green. How significant do you think that's going to be? Because it's weird that they didn't sign him before the start of the season. They waited, and now they end up signing him anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure how big that will be. The only reason I give pause to that is, like, it seems like everybody that signs late that's a pitcher struggles. Craig Kimbrel was a we saw how bad he was with the Cubs when he went over there. Greg Holland was terrible with the Royals. And, you know, I know he's on the fast track. I think they plan to bring him up by the end of this week, at least, you know, weekend or early part of next week. And I know he's been working out and stuff, but it's not the same as, you know, as having spring training. So, you know, it's better, you know, better that he's there, you know, than what they had before, but I still just wonder how effective he'll be.
You're telling me that pitching at your local high school against a cutout like Charlie Sheen in Major League is not going to cut it?
You know, and you see it. I mean, Craig Kimbrel was working out, and the Cubs said, okay, he'll be fine. And, you know, he was terrible. You know, Greg Holland was terrible. Somebody signed with the Cardinals with the same thing. It was just, it's tough to miss all of spring training and jump right back in. It's, you know, I don't like, you know, position players like Tyler Flowers. I don't think he'll be back in a month. You know, he's working out and trying to get in shape and everything else. But I don't know. I just think, at least from the outset, it may be rough.
One of the things we're watching, Bob, is in our division, the Mets. Jacob DeGrom's going to miss some time. I guess the MRI was negative, but they're still being very cautious about this. How long is he going to be out, and what's that mean for the Mets?
Well, I think they're planning on just the 10 days, you know. If it doesn't come right off 10 days, just shortly right after, they found nothing structurally wrong. But, yeah, when you're talking about a back, and this happened, you know, happening again so quick after the first one, you know, you worry. So we'll see. I mean, the Mets don't have DeGrom. You know, it's lights out. You know, I know they have a losing record when he pitches, but still, you know, the guy is the best pitcher in baseball right now. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a fun division to watch. I mean, everybody but the Marlins. The Marlins are hanging in there. I just don't think they have the depth to hang around where the others do.
Bob Nightingale's with us, guys. One of the best in the business here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Bob, we got into it a lot over the weekend. Ronald Acuna, he's not the most plunked guy in the bigs, but we had a Phillies pitcher who got teed off by Acuna the last time they played. He comes inside, plunks him on the hand. Luckily, it's no big deal. He's able to go. The unwritten rules of baseball. Snitker doesn't seem like he wants to go. We did the perfunctory throw at Real Muto on Sunday night, but is Acuna a guy who's not getting enough protection from his team, or is this much to do about nothing?
Well, I mean, he's getting protection from his team. I don't know. You know, I mean, guys, when they retaliate, since the guys who retaliate, those are the guys who get suspended. So, obviously, you hurt your team by getting suspended. I think it's one of those things. I mean, obviously, with Acuna, they want to pitch inside. I was at the Yankees-Astros series last week in New York, and Stanton was just hitting everything. And finally, it was the last day when McCullers and guys started pitching inside because, you know, make him uncomfortable. And I think that's what they're doing to Acuna, is trying to make him as uncomfortable as possible because he's such a great hitter.
Bob, what happened with the Albert Pujols situation out there with the Angels? How did that end in the way that it did? And is he going to play anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll play somewhere or not. I mean, he wants to be an everyday player. I don't know if there's a team out there that would give him those at-bats. I thought maybe KC might, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. He may have to wait for an injury to happen to somebody else. You know, it's just they thought that he wasn't living up to being an everyday player. They couldn't handle him anymore. Obviously, Pujols disagreed and said he did not want to sit on the bench, and that was it. So they said, okay, we'll just release you for you. And, you know, he was mad about it, mad the way he went out. You know, in hindsight, maybe he should have announced his retirement before the season started, just so, you know, prevent something like this happening. So, you know, they asked him if he wanted to retire. You know, he wanted no part of that either. So we'll see. I think he's going to sit back and in weight. Obviously, the team he wants to play for is the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, maybe he would be willing to be a pinch hitter for the Cardinals, but I think he wants to exhaust all the other possibilities first.
Bob Nightingale's with us, guys, talking about the Braves and Major League Baseball. A conversation, Bob, that we've been having here in Atlanta, and Bob writes for USA Today, by the way, is Freddie's in a contract year. Freddie Freeman was the MVP in the National League. He's off to a slow start by Freddie's standards, but there's no conversation about a contract here in Atlanta. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, I think the Braves don't even need to keep him. He's happy there. You know, loves playing there. Just like, you know, Anthony Rizzo didn't work out a contract either with the Cubs. But same thing, such a mutual interest. I think, you know, when it's all said and done, when you talk to baseball executives, they all point to the Paul Goldschmidt contract. You know, about the same age when he signed that extension with the Cardinals, 5 years at $130 million. I think Freddie would get a little bit more than that. But I don't think much more than that. So that's probably where it goes. It's like, hey, is someone going to you know, give you $200 million? You know, they're not. You know, I remember with Derek Jeter, you know, it's the last time when he was a free agent, the Yankees told him, hey, go out there and see what, you know, see what you can find. But this is what we think you're worth. And sure enough, he, you know, it came back to him. You know, same thing with Yadier Molina and Adam Wainwright with St. Louis. They, you know, it's like, hey, our offers are here. We don't think someone's going to blow us out of the water, and nobody did. And I think the same thing would be happening with Freddie Freeman, although it wouldn't surprise me if he signs before the season's over.
It's Bob Nightingale, guys. You surprised what the Red Sox are doing? 22-13. They weren't great last year in the pandemic-shortened season, and all of a sudden the quick turnaround, and they look like, well, a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah, very surprised. I mean, they just got awful last year, and you know, pretty much the same players coming back. They're in a full rebuild, and I mean, you know, sitting with the best record in baseball when you're rebuilding, you know, after, you know, getting rid of Mookie Betts and David Price and not having Chris Sale is stunning. I mean, you know, kudos to Alex Cora for what he's done there as a manager. You know, I don't know how long it'll last, but I think it'll last long enough for them to be in contention all year.
We always joke around about Liberty Media throwing nickels around like manhole covers. The Dodgers are the gold standard for spending. The over-under was like, what, 120 games or something? Now they're looking up at the Giants, not just the Padres. What's up with the Dodgers right now?
Yeah, just everything's going wrong. I mean, guys like Mookie Betts aren't hitting. You know, outside of Trevor Bauer, they're really not, you know, pitching that well. The bullpen is getting blown a bunch of leads. Defense with Corey Seager is a free agent, a shortstop. He's had big-time struggles. So, I mean, they're still the best team in baseball, talent-wise. You know, there's no way it's going to last. Just way too much talent. You know, they got so much talent in the minor leagues, too, and the money, of course. They can make any trade they want at the trade deadline. But, I fully expect them to win that ninth straight division title and still be the team to beat when October rolls around. In San Francisco, surprising. Same thing in a rebuild, and they plan to let those free agents go at the end of the season. You know, talking about Crawford and Posey and that sort of thing. You know, I guess it's possible they bring them back, but they weren't planning to. And they have a lot of money to spend. They have all that money coming off their books. So I think they'll be very big in the free agency next year.
Before we let you go, Bob, what's going on with these no-nos in baseball? I mean, we're seeing, what, three already? It's like, what's going on? People are saying something's weird. How do you feel about what we've seen with pitchers and the no-nos so far?
Yeah, was it four now and five? Yeah. You count Baumgartner seven innings. But, yeah, it's a I just think how bad the hitting's been. I mean, everybody's still the same thing, trying to hit home runs, you know, strike out home run or walk. You know, it's amazing. It shouldn't be happening like this. And, you know, people say, well, velocity. Well, Wade Miley, he only threw seven pitches at 90 miles an hour the other day. He just, you know, carved them up with old-fashioned pitching. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't keep going like this. But I do think baseball has a problem. It's like you need some more offense here. You know, but I think people are getting bored of their minds, you know, watching some of these games with the three outcomes of home run, walk, or strikeout.
Great stuff, guys. Odyssey Sports MLB Insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls brought to you by Dell Technologies. Small Business Profits, Podference 2.0 podcast series available on odyssey.com/Dell. Thanks again. We appreciate you, Bob.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
So we were getting hot and heavy about Acuna getting plunked, and Bob says it's just part of the game.
I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, I get it. You want to pitch inside, but when a guy throws a ball at you and you hit it 428 feet, and then the next time he sees you, he tries to put one in your ear hole and it hits your hand.
Yep.
That's the thing. That's the, I mean, you got to protect your guys, but it's certainly something that the unwritten rules of baseball that the younger demographics, like so many things in baseball, they just don't get or don't want to get.
Yeah, but the guys in the game get it. And that's the guys that are not doing enough to protect the guy that's the best player on your team.
Well, one of those guys is the skipper. He didn't seem to like the way the guy runs around the bases. That's what I got from it today.
All right, man, plenty more to get to. Top three at six is on the way. Mike wants to get into something that Tom Brady was talking about. We'll dive into that and much more. Hawks on the way tonight, too, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.